Blog Talk Radio.
Really good information.
And hey, let us hunt some people for a whole time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, Yahweh,
it's bringing us power through unity.
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Got a few people in the studio in our Blog Talk Radio studio. Thank you for being there in Blog Talk Radio land. And we're going to look for some people to join us on Facebook Live. This topic today, emancipation. I like that word because it has so many meanings for us to think about. Control. Emancipation means freeing us from restraint, from power and control and other people or things. So we want to try and work on our emancipation tonight, because there's just so much going on. And coming up with a topic is just the beginning. It's kind of the foundation. But we can explore so many things tonight as a collective body of conscious people. That's what this is all about. So I even heard what really bothered me this week. I listened to Gabor Maté. I love this man. He's a psychiatrist, doctor, medical doctor. And he's worked a lot with in the era of trauma and addictions. And he was being interviewed for his new book that talks about the normal, what is normal, you know, in our society. And he said something about suicide rates have gone up among children, among young adults. Suicide rates have gone up. Ooh, that's the one thing that just kind of shook me to hear that. Among all the other things that are going on in our world right now, suicide rates are going up. And that happened, I think, over the last 3 years. Suicide went up among all groups of people, I think, because of the insanity of our government and our education system and our medical system. So tonight, we want to just start off with some freeing tactics to take back our minds, that we might be able to save some of our children and others from suicide. Just think about it. All tonight's audios are meant to get you to thinking about creative ideas to free yourself from all the influences out there that are creating these traumatic events, these circumstances in people's lives that's causing them to want to leave this planet, suicide. So I've put together a few audios. First of all, on what is the difference between wants and needs? Because it seems to me that if we're going to understand the freeing of our mind, we need to look at what's the difference between wanting things and needing? I look around here at the people that I live near and the people I see every day, and we're confused as heck about wants and needs. We don't really know the difference. We've got so much influence out there that I thought we would start with just a basic understanding of wants and needs, and then we can go from there on. In fact, I've got two audios on needs and wants. What's the difference between needs and wants? Let's just clarify that and get a basic understanding, and then we can explore why people have lost their minds about what they want and need. They have no idea of the difference. So let's just go to the basics.
Needs versus wants. Food and water, shelter, clothing. These are our basic needs, but do they really stop there? What do you really need? Do you need a phone? What about a smartphone? Do you need a tablet for school? Or a computer? Everyone is going to answer those questions differently because every person has different wants and needs. Just because you really want something, that doesn't mean you need it. So how do you determine what is truly a need and what is just a really big want? Try asking yourself some basic questions. If I didn't have this item, would I still be able to function in life and keep up with my commitments? Or will not having this item severely affect my life in a negative way? For example, if I didn't have a car, getting to work would be a major challenge. But does this mean I need a brand new car? Or will the dependable car I have work? After you've spent some time determining what in your life is a want and what is actually a need, you have to figure out how many of those wants you can actually afford. Because there's no way we can afford all the things we want at once. Give them a ranking and start saving.
Differentiating between needs and wants is very important. In this lesson, we are going to explain the difference between needs and wants. Do you have a tablet? Is that a need or a want? Of course, it helps us in having more fun. But do we really need it to survive? let's take a look at the items that we use every day and determine if they are a want or a need. Firstly, what are needs? Needs are what we require to survive, which we can't do without, such as food, clothes, and shelter. Can you think of some examples of needs? Water, rain, sun, trees, school uniforms, medicines, toothpaste, vegetables and fruits are some examples of needs. So what are wants? Wants are things that we would love to have but can do without. Wants make our life more enjoyable and comfortable, but are not necessarily required to live. So children, would some of these be your wants? Pizza, going for movies, a tub of popcorn, nachos, PlayStation, phone, etc. Here is Praveen, who is all happy and excited to get back to school after his summer holidays. Praveen asks his parents to get him a new fancy bag, new shoes, new branded cricket bat, bottle, pens, etc. But Praveen's mom tells him to first clear his room and make a list of the previous year's supplies available. Let's help Praveen list down the things he already has. Fancy bag, fancy bottle, lunchbox, coloring and painting set, stationery box. Praveen and his mother then make a list of his needs and wants. Needs: pens, pencil box, school shoes. Wants: new fancy bag, new fancy bottle, branded cricket bat. Praveen agrees with his mom that he does not need a new fancy bag or a new bottle. Have you all understood the difference between needs and wants? That's wonderful. However, sometimes one person's want may be another person's need. For example, Praveen's friend Kevin is on the school cricket team and hence needs a good quality branded cricket bat. But Praveen is an amateur player and can use his old, locally made bat. So a need here is a branded cricket bat for Kevin, but a new branded cricket bat for Praveen is a want. Can you tell which of these are needs and which of these are wants? Study table. School shoes. Designer dress. Electricity. Branded jerseys. Water bottle. LPG.
So I think you get the idea. Listening to someone who lives in another country, we realize their needs and wants are very different from maybe someone who lives in the United States, right? So basically, we can understand now how needs and wants are based on, number one, survival, and where you live and what type of activities you participate in and so on. But the basic needs of food, water, clothing, and shelter are really all we need. And then the rest is wants. We could say that the rest of the things in our life are wants. So have we gotten out of control in terms of what we want versus what we need? And that's what we want to start off with, because, again, when I listened to an interview with Gabor Maté today, and he said the suicide rate of young people has risen and gone up, that to me seems to be a priority that would help us prioritize what we need and want even. So I want us to just think about tonight as we go through these audios and as we discuss our needs and wants, how can we make a difference in everyone, in anyone's life, neighbor, friend, family, so that we don't create depression or influence them to get depressed about their life, even our own life? How can we prevent depression in our own life? And I'm suggesting that we really start to think about what do we need in this society that we live in versus what we want, what we desire, because it's gotten out of hand. And I think as you listen to these audios I have for you tonight about advertising, there's something called neuromarketing you may be familiar with or not. But it's going to explain to us how brands, corporation brands, get our brain to buy more stuff. And I don't think many people are aware of this neural marketing that is affecting our brains over and over and over again. So that's where I've been led to go tonight, is to look at the marketing techniques, the advertising techniques, and help us maybe come up some solutions to the high suicide rate in our communities, in our country, and what we can do as individuals to affect the peace of mind that many people are seeking these days. So we have someone who's raised their hand, so let me go to the phones before I start my next audio for you. 706-202, I believe that's Kwame Sunhorse. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Good evening, Sister Viata. And again, thank you for chiming in on the show earlier. It was important that, you know, we look at that issue of human life and what is being done to it. Because the human needs, and that's part of the thing in which you're talking about, wants and needs. And what we're seeing is that there are certain things that are not in certain communities that are needed, like food, clothing, and shelter. What type of shelter? But there's one other factor, food, clothing, shelter, and human contact, human love. Because you can give a baby food, clothing, and shelter, without that human touch, it will die. It will not overstand, and its body will turn in on itself, because we need the interaction of human contact. We're not monolithic. We're not an island. And these are the parts that we have to look at and how we interact with another human that we share our needs with. Our mother provides the needs for that child when it comes upon the earth. And the thing is that as it begins to do, and like you're getting ready to go into, is advertisement puts in wants. And that's the part that we have to look at, because if those basic things are provided for and the interaction with a loving person, then you have basically all that is needed for your existence for a time in your development. And in the other part of wants is that, yeah, you want to have a good car, like the lady was saying, that's dependable to get you to and from. But when you were talking about tablets, and the first thing that pops in, it says, okay, a tablet. You do a tablet with a pencil and paper or an iPad. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Because both of them same word, but the tablet means is that you have to write down what you need and make a list of things that you want to do and all of that part, or you want the latest gadget that's going to connect to the rest of the world that's being advertised to.
Yeah, those are really some key ideas about what we're doing tonight, is freeing our minds from the slavery of an influence of outside corporations, outside of people. And you bring up an excellent point about relationships. The touching. If a child doesn't get that from birth, their first few years of earthly planetary existence, that's where it really starts, I think, Kwame, is this need or attachment to things that people think they want. You know, people have begin to develop a need for alcohol, a need for television, a need for food, fast food. I mean, we all need food, but what, you know, we could define what food is and realize most people are in a want mode, not need. You know, I want my chips. I want my salsa. I want my my steak. You know, oh, some most of these things I want. So
right.
it's a broad area to explore tonight, and I welcome participation by my audience to help all of us begin to prioritize and be more disciplined. Because everything I'm hearing lately, it's going to be getting pretty rough in the next few months and weeks as we go into a quantum financial system, as there's going to be a lot of resets going on in the whole global family. So this show and every show I do, I'm trying to prepare people to simplify their lives so that the next wave of Twilight Zone experience doesn't hit you so hard. And considering that suicide is already an issue and has been for the last couple of years, we got to help each other with knowledge and information that will prepare us for what's about to happen. And I can't even go into detail, but I just know I've been hearing not just from other sources, but from spirit about preparation, preparation, preparation. And that's how I found purslane all over my yard. It's because I started exploring the flowers in my yard and realizing this stuff is food. And I began to uncover the purslane in my yard, realizing I've got food all over this yard. And yet the fearmongers continue to push a message that we're going to have a food shortage. So if you have a real understanding and knowledge about what food is, you're not going to be afraid of anybody pushing that narrative that there's going to be a food shortage. I mean, people are just getting panicky over nothing because they don't have the knowledge and the information that they need to say, no, I don't think I'll ever run out of food. No. And when you have someone like Ellie Tom El-Amin wandering all over the planet with no shoes on, not eating hardly anything, and you're worried about food, we have got to reprioritize. We need to really reprioritize what our needs and wants are tonight. So thank you, Kwame, for introducing that idea of relationships is a need. That is definitely on the list of needs that may be even more important than the other food, water, clothing idea. We've got Mama AZ has her hand up. I'm going to open up her mic. Mama AZ, welcome. How are you?
Can you hear me, Dr. V?
Yes, I can. We can hear you.
And greetings, Brother Kwame. I was thinking about you and Dr. V today at Miracle Valley. You know, these are some very, very interesting times to be on the planet. And you just gave me confirmation, Brother Kwame, about the lack of love and human touch that the powers to be or the dark forces or whatever wants to keep us apart. Family, listen to me and Brother Kwame and others. Human touch is so vital right now. And Brother Kwame, you gave me confirmation. Do you know, family, I live here in Sierra Vista, Arizona, in this apartment complex. I'm going to get a sign to put on my door that says Witchy Pooh Woman of the West, because that's what the apartment complex labels me as being the witchy poo woman. But I said all of that to say this. I'm not BSing by the tree. It is cute. Very cute. When I set my stones on my ledge outside my door, I pay rent. They take them and throw them out in the yard. This is a true story. So I've been blessing these stones and sending good energy in those stones and setting them on the ledge. And I'm envisioning that when whoever comes by to move those stones and throw them out in the yard, they're getting the love energy by touching those stones that I have gathered and painted. They are getting that love and that healing. And Brother Kwame, just what you said triggered that confirmation in my brain for me to continue to keep painting these stones and putting them in the window, because they're picking up those stones and receiving love energy, plus they are exercising their muscles by picking them up and throwing them out in different areas. And I just said all of that to say this. Thank us. Thank you, Brother Kwame, for confirming that this is how this planet has gotten to be. And this is why we're here, to give pointers of teaching. Each one teach one, you see, because it is going to get to a level if we're not prepared. And it's not just food. You know, there are going to be many other things that are going to be stressful to the body, to the psyche, to the mind, if we do not build muscles in our mind, body, and spirit, if we do not build our muscles up, it's going to be a much more difficult time. And thank you, Brett Darian, brother, for your ministry, teaching people who are listening with their minds, their bodies, and their spirits. Not everybody, Dr. V, wants to be saved. It's a lot of people leaving here. They purposely are leaving here because that's not their assignment. They need to go someplace else. So the ones that are here to gather their muscles and to strengthen their muscles, these are the ones that we must gather with. And this is Mama AC Bonfire, Robert Paris, giving you these words of wisdom. Thank us, Brother Kwame. Thank
you. Can I share?
Yes, go ahead.
Could I share one thing, what Mama AC says?
Your mic is open.
Yeah, and what you're having is those people that come and pick up those stones are throwing them off. One, yeah, they're exercising their muscles, but they're putting those, they'll fall on a certain place to reconnect and send out the transmission of the tone of oneness that's surrounding your space. So what they're doing is helping you to put feelers out, put love stones out that's radiating energy out from where they picked them up off your porch, and they put them out, and then they connect in the grass, and then they send the energy down, they send the energy up. Anybody that walks in the area of those stones are going to pick up the energy from those stones.
Thank us, Brother Kwame. Thank us. Yay. Thank us. I didn't get upset. I didn't cuss. I'm not even going to the office to complain, because people know they speak. And thank us, Brother Kwame. Yay. Thank us.
Yeah, there's a power greater than us that's working with that, because remember I was shared with you a long time ago, you moved all of those stones from wherever you were to where you are now, and you were taking is because you're changing energy. By every time you put down a stone, that stone reconnects, and all the energy that's in that stone is transmitted into that area that it's laid in.
Get out of here, Brother Kwame. Thank us. Thank us for giving additional food for thought that I definitely placed in my peace pipe, and I'm drum smoking on it. Thank us, Brother Kwame. So you know what? I will continue, family, in situating those stones so they can be exercised and thrown into different locations for that healing. Thank us.
And I think, and just sharing that, Mama AZ, with us tonight, we can all who are conscious and aware of the power that you and Kwame are talking about to spread these stones around that have a history in their makeup, we can also participate in how this energy is being circulated and moved around. Because I can envision my own mind, and that's what we're talking about, freeing our mind, emancipating our minds to do this type of, thank you, Spirit. I just got that. This is emancipating our minds is taking the focus off material goods, material things that you want, and putting your mind on this type of work that needs to be done of moving the stones around and supporting Mama AZ and Kwame in the work that they're doing to heal this planet. That's one aspect of emancipating our mind. Put the mind on other things that are more important. And food is not that important. It's what we're saying here. Elitam Elamine is walking around the whole planet not eating anything. He's a solartarian. He's so taken in every environment he goes in. He makes full use of the sun, the water, the plants, everything, the rock. In fact, Mama AZ, I have to send you a video that that Elitam sent me. He was sitting in a rock, a huge rock, absorbing the energy from this rock. I was like, whoa. I don't know. Did you see that or not?
No, I haven't, but I'm just waiting. An angel was sent to me from the Reds up in Sedona, and he says, Mama, you rest for 2 weeks because you're not strong enough, and then we'll see about getting you to the stronghold to create a pit for you to sleep in. And in this location, it's surrounded like I'm in a cocoon, a circle, where I baptized myself after a show that we did, Dr. V, 2 years ago. Anyway, yes, in this particular location is a big stone, and around that stone is sand that you, it's like a beach sand that you could dig a pit and sleep in it. And you are surrounded like you're in a womb, in your mom's womb, to gather that energy. Yes, in that video, because that's another confirmation that I will send out to the angels that's going to help me dig this pit in Cochise's stronghold.
It's time for us to take I think it's time for a commercial break, but I'm not sure if Naima, if you're ready, press one. But this is so exciting to hear this, because even though we have all these tragedies going on around us, the child trafficking, the suicides, as Mama AZ said, not everybody's going to be staying on this planet. I'm telling you, I said this 2 years ago, I said, oh, a lot of people are going to be leaving the planet. And they did. And so I'm hearing once again, and Mama AZ is saying, not everybody's going to make it through this next go-round of Twilight Zone and Roller Coaster and all the other transitional energy that we're going to have to go through before we get to this new quantum financial system, this new, what they call Nasara Jasara. There's a lot of good things on the other side of this drama we're going to have to go through. But
if you don't mind, I want to encourage, especially parents, when your children seem like they don't really give a shit, don't allow that to jerk your chain.
Right.
Keep in mind, family, especially women, yes, you gave birth. However, we are sometimes just the incubators to get those individuals back through your gate to get here to do their mission.
Yeah.
And please muscle up your heart and don't allow your heart to fall apart and shatter because it appears that they don't care. Whether they care or not, family, women especially, it's okay. Because you got them here to do their mission. And whatever that may be, drug dealer, murderer, whatever. You
consumer,
have to look at it.
How about just heavy consuming? You know, a lot of our children are here to experience what it's like to be a consumer addict. That's what I'm looking at.
Yes.
So we're going to go to a break.
Okay, thank
us. We'll come back. I'll leave your mic open, Mama AZ, if you want, but you got to mute. If you can mute your mic. You and Brother Kwame, I'll leave your mic open, but just mute it for me. And we're going to take a commercial break. Naima Latif is in the Female Solutions studio for us to bring us some messages from our sponsors. Thank you, Naima.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we're back. Thank you, Naima, for those messages. And we have another caller. So before I go to another teaching on neuromarketing, you're going to love this because it's a lot that we don't know about the psychological attempts to brainwash us. And we're going to go to the call first. 312-802, your mic's open. Welcome. Give us your name, where you're calling from. I think is that Minister Cynthia?
Yes, it is, and I'm so humble and grateful for this opportunity to learn. I'm going to tell you guys, ladies, we souls are coming through, Dr. Kwame, all of us. I just felt so, when I brought the show on, I finally got through. I felt like I was in class. You guys are teaching on a level that is outstanding. I'm serious. My baby was talking to me about grandfathers and years ago, and I'm like, grandfather, what are you talking about, rock? I don't have it in my own spirit. And She just explained it so beautifully about how grandfathers pick up the vibration of the surrounding on this planet and everything and everybody else. I just was so impressed. And I have to say that I am so impressed with her, that here in Chicago, just let's get real here, because we're about all the stuff here, but let me say this. I paid $50 for a crystal big enough that I wanted, and I put it in the universe that I can give to her, because she's representing the rock, and I know crystals are fabulous once you do your meditation. Hey, woman, that woman is deep. Ooh, wow. And everybody that's listening, pay attention to her. She is fabulous. She is beautiful. And just to hear her and all of you speak on this deeper level, mystical level, and the whole thing about food, I really have been really getting with that. I've lost 76 pounds.
Wow.
And yes, ma'am, 76 pounds, because I didn't focus my mind on food as a substance for me. It's something that is there, that if I need it, I can eat it. If I don't, why worry about it? I was so impressed, with the concept when you brought it forth. And I think it's really the worldly things, the psychologically worldly things, they tell us that we're supposed to need. But all we need is a substance from God. And what this doctor is doing, it's wonderful that his spirit so has him with that concept. I think it's just fabulous. I want to say I wish I could. I don't know if that right now. I don't see his ministry on that level, but the man is very deep. And he is performing that ensuring by his living soul body what we're supposed to be about. When we get a cut, the cut is not the reality when we get that cut. The cut is the healing that takes place as a result of the so-called breakage of the flesh. We're more than that. I mean, the healing process. I was telling everybody, I was telling some lady, I said, Jesus said, what I can do, you can do also. And it's very deep in that it takes that spiritual, relaxed understanding of who and what we are. So when we vibrate, we're vibrating with that magnetism and that charisma on a level that there's no such thing as a cut. Ooh, what was that? So what was it when you get the splinter in the hand when you're a little girl, a little boy? It's like my grandmother would take it out and she said, don't worry about it. Whatever looks like she would do, and then it would go away.
Yep, there you go. There you go. And you know, Minister Cynthia, I have been juggling my own dietary food needs, and I'm doing one meal a day, one big meal a day, and tea and water in the morning, and then like snacks and after the meal. I haven't lost 1 pound going to one meal a day, and I'll tell you what. I think one of the differences is the relationships that I have now. I have cut out a lot of energy vampires in my life. I just don't talk to them anymore as much. And a lot of the toxic relationships, not a lot, I haven't had a lot, but I'm more mindful, as Kwame said, about the relationships that are important. And they're important to feed us and nourish us and bring vitality to our being. So that might be something you want to think about, is just think about the people in your life, even if it's just phone, the people you talk to on the phone, whether they're draining you, whether they're vampires. And I started to think about that more and more, and I realized the people I have in my life are just so nourishing to me right now. Even my grandchildren who challenge me, they're challenging me in a good way that I'm learning from them, and they're helping me respond with patience. So especially if we're growing in patience and the people are not draining us and they're not toxic, those relationships are going to help us heal and flourish and evolve, is what I'm finding. And I haven't lost 1 pound. I think I gained something.
The people that are positive that are around me, I pay attention. Yeah. I was just telling this woman. Let me say this. These firemen, I'm on the second floor. They have to come and get me and bring me downstairs to the front of my, in front of the building where I rent. And I have a little bad fatigue. So they were very saddened by my husband's death or transition. I'll put it like that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. One of the young Caucasian guys, I was saying something. I said, well, you know, I said, I know every last one of you. I've been talking over a period of time with them for months. I've really got a heart. I can tell you guys I got a heart. You want to help people. You take us like we're cast up in a tree, and you bring us downstairs. And they do it, and they are so pleasant. But the point I was making with him, he asked me a question. He said, how do you know that you're doing good? And so I gave him an example. I said, as a teacher, I had a nonprofit, and I was there to help people get their GED and learn how to read and write. So I'm teaching the class, and this young man comes in that I hadn't seen in a while. He had been in the class. So I was teaching him, teaching him, teaching him. And then finally, when there was a pause, and he waited respectfully, he said, Miss Williams, I'd like to say something, and I'd like for everyone in the room, in the class, to hear me. May I? And I said, yes, you may. And see, he and I had little negative back and forth, very intelligent. But that spirituality, when we walk with it, is supposed to help bring forth changes in people. But he was how respectful he was. So finally, driving back to with a point, he said, well, I just wanted to say, I wanted everyone here to understand But I'm very grateful for Ms. Williams having this program. It made me cry. He said, now I passed my GED, and now I can be a carpenter's apprentice, and now I can feed my family. So that made me, and I was telling the co-creator, Bobby, it's the feedback that you get back from people. And I tell them all the time, you know, so he wanted to know. All the teaching thing is there for all of us to share the essence of relationships.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the covering looks like. So I was so humbled by that, and I hope he takes that with him. But they do ask me questions.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm sorry, Susan.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Minister Cynthia, for sharing that. And we just need to remember, we're being reminded tonight that what we need most are things that are invisible, like relationships and sunshine. And if you have quality relationships, non-toxic relationships, and you're getting a lot of sun, laughter, you don't need a lot of food, it's my opinion. Because that food gets in the way and your digestion is affected by that food if you are not getting the love and the sunshine and all the other invisible elements. So I want to share this teaching on neuromarketing, getting your brain to your brain. How brands are getting your brain to buy stuff. And I just feel as long if we're aware of this type of psychology and marketing tool techniques they're using, that hopefully we will start staying away from it and moving into a more conscious lifestyle where we do not put all this stuff in our bodies or our homes.
About 100 years ago, companies in the Western world ran into a problem. Consumers had everything they needed. And so the companies came up with a great idea.
You just can't beat a Lucky Strike.
Terrific new busy day dessert.
Persuade people that they need more things, even things they didn't really know they needed.
That's 400 speed film.
And nowadays, companies are studying your brain to get you to keep buying more stuff. This is called neuromarketing, and
neuromarketing is like marketing on steroids.
Companies know us better than we know ourselves.
The brand exists nowhere else but in the mind of the consumer.
We're going to tell you how companies are getting into your head.
In the 1950s, a clever marketer shocked the world with an astonishing experiment. He flashed the messages, drink Coca-Cola and eat popcorn on a cinema screen, too briefly for the audience to even notice. He claimed this had people rushing to the counters in droves to buy Coke and popcorn.
If this story sounds too good to be true, then that's because it is. Thankfully, we're not that easy to brainwash.
Turned out it was all BS. He made that up. There's no such thing as a brain buy button.
This is Prince Guman, a marketing professional. He and neuroscientist Matt Johnson wrote a book on how companies tailor their marketing to our brains. So the good thing is, we are not mindless shopping zombies. But we do make a lot of our decisions subconsciously. And that's where neuromarketing comes in. Companies are trying to better understand how our brain works to figure out what we really want.
Traditional marketing studies work like this. Someone will ask me, do you want an apple or do you want a chocolate bar? And I'd say, I of course want the apple. But do I really want the apple?
So we feel as if we're in control. We feel as if we're the author of our decisions and we're thinking through these things very rationally. But study after study after study shows that we are extremely irrational and that we're, generally speaking, pretty unaware of the full range of factors which ultimately inform and sometimes actually decide the different behaviors and paths that we take.
In short, we don't always know what we want. We don't know if we actually want the apple or if we prefer the chocolate bar, but our brain doesn't lie.
And that's why neuromarketers have adopted a range of technologies in their marketing studies to see what's happening under the hood inside consumers' brains. Functional magnetic resonance imaging and electroencephalograms measure activity in the brain. Eye tracking shows where we direct our attention, and heart rate and skin conductance show what we find exciting.
For better or worse, people are complex and the brain is really complex.
Uma Kamaka is a scholar whose research revolves around how we make decisions.
What neuroscience does is it gives us access to some of these emotional elements or these elements that might not be fully conscious and tells us a little bit more about some of the things that might also be contributing to people's experiences and choices.
Take Cheetos, for example. When his parent company Frito-Lay asked consumers how they felt about the brand, many said, well, it's a bit of a kid's snack. But when they looked at their brains, it turns out people got a real kick out of getting their fingers messy with this orange dust that they're covered in. It is fun.
There was something subversive about that orange dust on your fingers. There was something a little unusual about it. And people kind of enjoyed it, even though it was not that respectable.
You know, other people are trying to do their laundry too.
Frito-Lay took these findings and built an entire ad campaign around this feeling of subversive pleasure.
Those are her whites in the dryer.
It became a huge success.
More and more businesses are investing in this type of research, most of which is happening in secret.
Through neuroscience, but also with the help of psychology and behavioral economics, they get a pretty good idea of what makes us tick. And they use this knowledge to get us to buy more of their stuff.
Now I'm going to give you four examples of this that you've probably seen in your everyday life.
One, they wear you down. Our brain operates in two different thinking modes. There's what's called System 1, which is fast, unconscious and automatic. And then there's System 2, which is deliberate and conscious, but takes a lot of effort.
If I ask you, what is your name? System 1 will immediately have an answer to that question. But if I ask you, what is 23 times 48? You're going to have to switch to System 2. This requires effort. Now imagine you're going grocery shopping.
You have to find your way around the different aisles and make loads of decisions in a short amount of time. When you finally get to the checkout counter, you're tired.
One way in which you can get somebody to be more System 1 oriented is actually through wearing them down. So System 2, very resource intensive, requires a lot of metabolic resources. When we're tired, when we're malnourished, we're much more likely to go with a much more impulsive System 1 response.
And that's why, right at the end of your shopping trip, retailers tempt you with loads and loads of sugary snacks that you might just pick up at the very last moment. And shopping malls exploit the same situation. They're confusing, they're overwhelming, they're quite frankly exhausting, so you're more prone to spend money on something you might not even need. Two, they tell you what the right price is.
Let's say you walk into a store and you see a bottle of wine for, I don't know, let's say $15. Your brain doesn't really know if this is a lot or if this is not a lot, so it's immediately starting to look for some context.
Typically, people don't really have a sense of price. Like, they don't really know how much wine should cost or what's the right price for wine.
This is Moran Cerf, a computer hacker turned neuroscientist and business professor.
The people create their kind of impressions of the price range, not by knowledge, by information, but rather by kind of sampling reality.
And the store will happily give your brain a reality to latch onto by placing a second bottle next to it costing $50. Now your brain thinks $15, that's actually a pretty good deal, so it's very likely you're going to buy this bottle.
Our brains are like ships. We're looking for places to anchor, right? And adding any sort of context or understanding of value, having an anchor helps.
Three, they keep you on the treadmill.
Another quirk of our brain that brands are using is that it's constantly seeking pleasure. And the key word here is seeking.
Once you're experiencing a sort of thing that you wanted, you don't just get to bask in that pure pleasure for a long time. It's not the type of emotion which is enduring over time. And that's a very, very good thing for brands.
Because pleasure is so fleeting, brands keep sending us to what's called the hedonic treadmill.
The iPhone 6. The iPhone 6S. This is iPhone 7. iPhone 11. iPhone 12.
Right, let's say you buy iPhone 8. It's a brand new physical design, and you're loving it. And just like clockwork, 12 months later, 8S comes out. Whatever pleasure you got from achieving and purchasing the iPhone is now immediately gone. And now you're looking to, again, jump on the hedonic treadmill and look to chase the next pleasure.
Four, they hide little nudges in plain sight.
So you remember that cinema story from the beginning? Subliminal marketing messages like this, so things that we can't pick up unconsciously, are actually illegal in most countries. But a few companies must have thought, well, why don't we just hide them in plain sight?
Check out this ad from KFC. See anything unusual? Well, look again. There's an actual dollar bill photoshopped into the burger, which happens to cost $1. And check out this can. Coca-Cola made it look like it's smiling to tie in with its brand image of happiness. And in literally every ad for watches, the time is set to 10 past 10, because that makes it look like the watch is smiling at you. These types of subtle hints are called primers.
So I would say right now, controversial, but the priming works. That said, we still teach that in school, in business school, as kind of a mechanism people should be aware of, because it's easy to implement. So if for the small chance that it does work, why not try it if you're trying to kind of sell something?
So if you see a 10-10 watch, you know, you're not compelled by some physical force to go out and do everything you can to buy it. But if you're already feeling like buying a watch, or maybe you're already favorable towards the brand, you know, that additional data point is going to push you maybe a little bit further.
And this is not limited to visual triggers. An experiment showed that if a wine store plays French music, customers buy more French wine. And if it plays German music, they buy more German wine.
A lot of this stuff is hiding in archives for companies, and it is in their best interest not to reveal it. But we would be silly to think that this isn't part of the experiential design that companies are creating to better engage with the consumers.
So where does all this leave us? Are we ultimately just puppets without a will of our own, buying whatever corporations throw our way? Or do we have a choice?
Total mindless behavior is rare. Total control is also rare. And in between, there's a wide gray area. And we can move the needle between whether we make choices that are very informed and very kind of thorough, or very impulsive and not too thorough.
If you like something, that's going to be the most important determinant of whether or not you choose to spend money on it, or your time on it, or your resources in general on it. And that speaks a lot to the power that we have as consumers and individuals.
Now, neuromarketing is a very powerful tool. It gives companies access to something that even we don't have access to most of the time, our subconscious. But just knowing that and knowing how our brain works can already help us make better decisions. Have you ever come across any of the things we've shown you in the video? Let us know.
So we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we want to talk about money and debt, because that's usually how people satisfy their wants, and not so much needs, but wants. So we've got people in debt with large amounts of money, and we're going to talk about what that does to the brain. So we'll be right back after these messages. Thank you, Naima Latif.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us. As you heard, neuromarketing is a very planned, well-planned way of getting us to spend our money on things we don't need but want. And so what I've seen, the reason that we're spending money on need wants instead of needs, because we have credit cards and we have debt. So here's a little piece from a therapist on how debt affects our brain.
Money management using psychology. In January of 2020, meaning before the pandemic, CNBC published a study that reported that 41% of families in the U.S. would go into a debt if they incurred a $1,000 emergency, like a medical bill or auto repair. The same survey showed that the average cost of an unexpected emergency is $3,500, and roughly 28% of people experienced a financial emergency within the last year. Coming up, we'll talk about how financial issues affect our mental health and three psychology tips we can use to save money and be better prepared for whatever life has in store for us. This is Real Life Psych. Yeah. Happy Sunday, you guys. I'm Alexa Simos, your typical almost 30-year-old with student debt, as well as a licensed therapist, and you're watching Not So Scary Sundays. I'm sorry if I'm being a buzzkill today, but we're going to talk about money management and how this affects your mental health. At the end, we'll talk about three psychological tips you can use to save money so that you always have a decent emergency fund in case something happens. What a time to be a millennial. Go to college, they said. Take out student loans, they said. You can't get a decent job without college. And while we should be getting our life together, we're so influenced by social media and traveling all over the world for the gram. That, between paying bills, paying debt, and splitting a four-bedroom house with eight people for Coachella, it's hard to always have discipline to not spend money because no one wants to just work, pay bills, and retire. Now, let's talk about how all of this affects our mental health. Anxiety and depression. Studies have shown that individuals who struggle with debt are more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety. Some symptoms might include a decrease in sleep quality, inability to focus, or low energy. There's even a connection between suicide and debt. This study showed that 16% of suicides are related to financial stress, and other studies show that people who commit suicide are 8 times more likely to be in debt. Next is resentment and irritation. One thing to remember is that debt not only affects us directly, but it can strain our personal relationships as well. According to a poll by Insider.com, 36.1% of couples that divorced did so due to financial issues. These issues varied, but almost all contributed to the buildup of debt and overspending. In fact, recent studies show that 45% of Americans aged 18 to 53 who were married in the last 2 years went into debt just to throw their wedding, and were 3 times more likely to have arguments about those finances than those who didn't. Research shows that arguments about money is one of the top predictors of divorce because it creates a dark cloud and typically results in a variety of challenges for your close relationships. Last but not least is regret. Unfortunately, one of the first things that happens when you pulled your head above the water is self-blame. Of course, this is only exacerbated when you get online to see that Bitcoin's gone up about 50K and people are making money off shorting GameStop. And even though your debt isn't necessarily based on bad decisions, they can lead us to regret our life choices, like our career, relationships, or the city that we choose to live in. The life that we build is so closely attached to who we are as people. So regretting our life decisions is in some way rejecting who we are to our core. It's hard to see this when you're young, but being financially responsible may seem boring, but it is usually associated with more happiness in the end. Here's the good news. In terms of debt, it's not necessarily about how much money you make, but how much money you keep. We can all benefit from these 3 psychology tips to save money, no matter how much income we receive. Number 1, reevaluate happiness. Have you guys ever heard of the hedonic treadmill? It simply means that no matter what, your life typically is at a baseline of happiness. And so even if you buy a new house or a new car, this euphoria will only last temporarily, and eventually you'll just get used to having those things, and it won't make you any happier. Life naturally has its ups and downs, and things that increase your baseline of level of happiness is the joy that comes from within and the relationships we have with the people around us, not material items or temporary experiences. Number 2, avoid comparisons. Hear me out. I know I rag on social media a lot, and it doesn't have to be the enemy. There are plenty of people to learn from, like Graham Stephan or Dave Ramsey. But on the flip side, according to a Schwab's Modern Wealth Survey of 2019, 49% of millennials say social media influenced them to spend money on experiences. And 48% say they overspent when sharing experiences with friends, whether it's dining out or going on a group vacation. Now, I know I always say to delete social media, but social media can lead you to being that yes man all the time. Make sure that you know your limits and that you're surrounding yourself with people who respect that. Number 3, journal your spending. Journaling is a tactic therapists use with clients that helps keep track of stressors, anxiety-provoking situations, and just temptations so that we can recall these events and explore what might have caused them. In this situation, journaling what you spend can also be used just to track where your money's going. Like walking into a Starbucks like a celebrity and everyone knowing what you may get is cool and all, but writing it down in your journal may be exactly what you need in order to limit mindless spending. I understand how touchy this subject is. Let's face it, debt is a conversation we don't always have with our friends or loved ones because it typically doesn't make us feel good. When debt starts to feel like a determining factor in how we should live, it feels like we're being robbed of the people we truly are. I'm here to tell you that debt doesn't make you a bad person. You are not your debt. What I can say is that it's never too late to change how you manage your money because your physical health, mental health, and relationships will all benefit from this. Talk about a kind of scary, not so scary Sunday, but I hope these tools were effective for you to kind of give you a psychological insight of how you use your money. Kudos to everyone brave enough to make it through this episode. And thank you to everyone that's been along for the ride. We're so close to 1,000 subscribers. Please help us get into that YouTube app.
Okay, so we've kind of come full circle on this topic. I started out saying at the beginning of the show how I heard that from Gabor Mate that the latest statistics on suicide show that more young people are committing suicide. And in that last audio, she mentioned how many people are motivated or are driven to suicide because of their debt. Ay, 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 ay. So it's really crazy at this season that we're in that inflation is up, so things are more expensive, and many people are turning to their credit cards to buy maybe what their needs are representing. Food, for instance. And gas, how about that? Gas went up crazy this summer. So I'm not sure if Minister Cynthia, let me open. Minister Cynthia, I saw your hand going up and down. Minister Cynthia, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Real short comment. Love you all. But remember in my story about spending $50 on the crystal, but that was a spiritual thing. It's for me, it's prosperity. What did I learn that from? My father, and you got to think about all the blacks that came from the South, that even when they were down there, they got together and supported each other. They had a consciousness that they wanted to have better. So as they traveled north and took on these jobs, this is why they bought the beautiful homes and things like that. They didn't tear anything up. But here we go. I learned that from my father, and you'd be surprised. It'll be in my book, I guess. Of my thinking and the way. I never thought about POOR. I didn't know what that was. I even as a single woman with a daughter. I mean, I lived well. She lived well. I didn't have a husband or boyfriend. Who was this lady that asked me, how did I do what I did? I said, I believe God can provide for me everything and anything that I want, is good and very good. That's why I love metaphysics. It teaches you that there's one focus, the omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, and all powerfulness of God. And I think, look at God, as I matured, today is my birth Earth Day. 9/18/1948. 74 Earth years, Mama AD. 74. And here I am, living in a spiritual reality. I don't care nothing about what all these people are talking about. My husband told me before he made a transition, well, you know the gas is really high. I said, who told you that? So I said, you know what? You need to stop believing what the world said and deal more spiritually. Who and what we are as spirit souls in this body container. We're powerful. Stop believing what these corporations psychologically and all these techniques they use to make everyone be afraid that they're going to have lack of limitation. You got to believe on a stronger spiritual level. So you and I and all of us that can help them, please do. And I do appreciate this session today and how I'm learning as a student. I'm always going to be learning things. But I wanted to share that 9/18/1948. I haven't had astrology thing done yet. I know we all deal with, but that crystal, now, somebody tell me. Now again, what are crystals? What do they do? Crystals, yes, please. Because I know I got it for her because I felt the vibration were it. Beautiful, beautiful color. I like it.
What type of crystal do you have?
I have no idea. It's a crystal. This guy here in Chicago, I'm in Chicago, he was selling a crystal, and in my mind, I wanted to give Mama AZ, I feel for myself, an upgraded rock. Or as you say, grandfather. It's real pretty. It was peach, something like that. And I did some meditation and prayer over it. what they told me, I'm looking at things about these skulls that are crystals that have been found. They say they're like computers if you can tap into them. I thought maybe you guys can help, because see, we got to stop looking at the material and understand that truly we are more than the material, we're more than the flesh. We are spirit souls. When Toni Morrison wrote the book Beloved, is talking about people flying, that's what we do. We don't, these arms, legs, all this physical stuff, telephones, we communicate, mental telephony live on the other side. That is the education and this whole thing of food substance. I was very curious about that when you started talking about it. I said, that's right. You can, but at the time I'm in any type of hospital situation, doesn't mean I'm not SFCK. But here's the thing. Well, did you eat anything? I don't feel like eating. I don't even want to tell them. I don't feel like eating. Why do I have to keep stuffing my body with stuff that I don't even like when I know that we are truly, I know who I am. I know what I am. If I make my transition because I haven't eaten anything, then I just do. But I think on a spiritual level, it's a deep level of consciousness. But Dr. Kwame, could you go a little deeper for us on the crystal, you know, and what they're about and what have you, and that food thing. I really like that. That was interesting.
We're going to play a song for you, my dear. Thank you for Happy Earth Day to you. And let's just, if anyone would like to express some birthday greetings, I'm going to play a song.
Yeah, I will wish.
Hold on. All right. Well, Minister Cynthia, that's a love song from your Stevie Wonder.
I didn't hear it at all.
You didn't hear it at all?
No, ma'am.
Did anybody hear it?
No, ma'am. Nothing.
No. All we heard was a...
Oh, my goodness. I messed up on that one. Okay. Well, maybe I'll try later. Anyway, I played Stevie Wonder for you, but Kwame has a message for you. And I think Mama AZ, too. So, Kwame, go ahead.
Thank you. These are my teachers right now. Thank you.
Happy Earth Day. And you asked about the quartz. And like you said, it was pink, the color of the crystal that you got.
It was peach. So, peach, pink, or something like that.
Yeah. Rose quartz is a sign of its love, and that's the mineral in it. It's a peach-looking crystal.
I was so impressed with Mama AZ. I asked the spirit to open to get something like that for her. She's a woman.
That's what I gave to you, because they come to us, and the part of it is that we're crystalline, but even what we're using these phones are crystals. And these are the new era. We're moving from a carbon, and this is what crystals are formed, the mineral that it forms from. So what you've been gifted was to have a transmitter and a receiver of love for you.
Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you, because I was feeling so much love for Mama Izzy, because I felt if I gave her this fine thing that it came to me, it's like the spirit said, get her a crystal. this guy, I guess, some kind of way he came into my life and my husband's. And that's when he sold us, Crystal. We had a beautiful pink peach one. And I didn't know when I'd be able to give it to her because we live in Chicago, so we're down in Phoenix, Arizona, but the universe opened that up. And she was able to, when it was after, I'm looking at her digging the dirt and making a hole in the dirt. I'm like looking at everything that my lady is teaching me. And it was some kind of fire or something. She has to talk about it like for me. The woman is very interesting, and I've learned so much, and I think on another level with her help.
Okay, so Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Minister, can you hear me?
Yes.
Happy Earth Day. When you called me, I was being taken by an angel that was sent from the Rez, from the Diné, meaning the Navajo reservation, to take me to Miracle Valley when you called me today. And family, I want you to know that Miracle Valley, Arizona, is very special to me because I started having visions a long time ago. And Minister, I need you to know that you and I, we have work, healing work to do, because yeah. I saw you coming through a portal along with Dr. Delbert Blair, Phil Valentine, Bobby Hemmett, Michael Beckwith, and many, Sister Myra, many of those people, Sister Sophia Stewart, all of you were coming through a portal there at that temple at Reverend A.A. Allen's temple that he created many moons ago. And it was just interesting that Patrick came from the Rez to take me there, and you called me. And I told Patrick, I said, you know what? That's a confirmation. That's a sign. That's Minister from Chicago. So I appreciate you calling me when you did. And again, happy Earth Day to you. And I love you, Minister. And thank you. I thank us for you helping me to come out of the closet. And I'm not talking about being gay, family, but what if I were? It's nobody's business but me and the Creator's. But when I say coming out of the closet with ministers' knowledges that she shared on the female solution, it just gave me courage with her life to connect with my life and my experiences of the tall ones, the ascended masters. And I will never forget you, Minister, for many, many lifetimes to come, how you have helped me and encouraged me. And you too, Brother Kwame, to help me to stay grounded and not think that I was crazy with the dreams and the visions that I've had. And they're getting stronger. So I love you, Minister, and I thank us, and happy Earth Day. And this is Mama AZ, Robert Paris. Peace and many blessings. I hope.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Love feast here. Love and hugs to you, Minister. Cynthia, I'm going to open up Naima Latif's mic, see if she's ready for the next commercials. And she, I don't know if she wanted to say anything. Naima, your mic is open.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my girl. Yes, well, I definitely wanted to wish a happy Earth Day to our dear sister, Minister Cynthia. And we're so excited to hear her voice tonight, knowing that she is such a powerful spirit on this earth and has come here, like Mama AZ said, to do amazing healing and to demonstrate that the spirit is more powerful than the body. So we are not the body we're in. We are the soul inside the body, and the soul is limitless.
Yes.
So it's the power of our soul that touches the hearts. And so many, Minister Cynthia has chosen a life to exemplify that so that people might be inspired and encouraged and strengthened with the knowledge that we are the eternal beings that are powerful beyond measure and able to achieve anything with the power of our spirit. So thank you, Minister Cynthia, for agreeing to take on this great challenge in order to demonstrate to people who have perceived themselves for too long as being weak and victims and helpless. And you're demonstrating that no one is a victim and nothing can break you once you decide to remember your divine nature. And once you know who you are, nothing can stop you. So thank you for being that demonstration for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. And you're fabulous because in our life journey, you and I, as we touch base over the years, it's just a growth. It's a growth thing when we all come in contact with each other. We're all, well, let's say this, I always say we're all students, and we are teachers to and for one another. And I'm just grateful for you and the concepts and thoughts that you have brought my way, especially you and Mr. Glover. He made his transition on how to be a business person. I just glad you know take charge, minister. So there you go. We have to learn to be kind to ourselves and be live through this world that I'm learning. And I've learned, like I said, from each person. We also be teachers to one another. And the Bible says have good relationships, you know, with people. You can feel it. So there should be something that enhances you and builds you up to a high quality of life. Prosperity. I want to tell everybody, look, come on now. What is P-O-O? I don't know anything about that. All I know is there is a God that is unlimited in providing for us. And once we connect, you know, it's just amazing to me. I guess tonight, like one day, I'll be able to put something in a book. When I say book, I mean maybe a pamphlet or something, because you'd be amazed at some of the things that I've experienced. No, not no bragging, no boasting. Just the fact that as we practice our spirituality, we are process beings beyond what the world says.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Yes, we are. You know, and many of us are in this season, we're dealing with transitions. You know, this is, you are dealing with the transition of your husband. Every soul that leaves here because they finish their assignment, they make us reflect on the impact that they had on our lives and the impact we're having on other lives. And, of course, our sister Zelda took a journey to Las Vegas to, you know, bid farewell or see you later to her lifelong friend. And, you know, when you realize that many of the companions that have been with us over a lifetime, they'll be the ones to greet us when we cross over, because the relationship of the heart never ends. And so these are the people who watch over us during the remainder of our time. They whisper little suggestions to us. And sometimes we think it's our idea to do a certain thing, and it's actually our loved one that's telling us from the other side. So these are the people who love us. They love us while we were together in the earthly realm, and they continue to love us from the other side, and they wait for us. so that we can be welcomed when we return home. And it's such a glorious adventure. And knowing this while we're here on this earth is such a gift, because we can live life in gratitude and know that there's only love. That's all the Creator is.
You are actually telling the truth. What happened was, my younger sister told me when I was in the hospital, she said, you know, Michael always says he's never going to leave you. And for all of you that know our relationship, the reality, the highest level is to try to do the best we can to acknowledge that the best beauty of our soul with our partners, our families, and all friends. But that was so, that's what was said to me. He said he would never leave me, so he's with me now. And I've had a couple of experiences. But you're right, you are so on target.
Yes.
We've got another caller.
He's with you now even more than before. You know,
another caller.
Presence. Yeah. Do you want me to take a quick break, and then we come back and take the caller?
Yes, because they've all dropped right off. So go ahead and we'll take our break.
I'll take a quick break, and then they'll come on back, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Tune in to Sofa Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us. And we are so grateful to be celebrating Minister Cynthia's Earth Day today, 74 years young. How about that? And we thank all of you who have given her some kind words. And we had a caller here, but I don't see them now. But thank you, Minister Cynthia, for sharing your wisdom. And how does it feel to be 74?
I don't know what that means. If I am on the soul, I don't know what that means because I'm an eternal living soul. I've always known that. And I've had the discussions with Naima over the years. And these things that limit us to what this world defines are not real to me. If a thought that comes my way, I'm like, well, okay, no. No, I'm an eternal soul. It's time is not. See, time is more of a man-made concept. The rhythm of the universe is the flowing of the universe, especially music. You know, I mean, my God, all over the planet, people dance and they listen to music because we are part of that rhythmic flow of the beautiful music of the universe. Sometimes you hear it and you wonder when you wake up, well, what was that? You're listening and you're in tune with that. Like when you do the thing with the Stevie Wonder, you may feel something that you felt would make lift me and make me feel better. So I'm telling all of you guys, you're teaching today. You're ministering to me. Because I recognize, as long as I'm here on the planet living in this man-made time frame, that this seems to work. And if it's something I need to do, then I'm open and receptive. I really am. I love you all, really. And here we go. What is love? Love is a doing, it's an action word. It's caring. It's compassion. That's the humanity of knowing what we are. That's what it is. And I can't help myself. I've had some beautiful feedback, and it has been so confirming. And so uplifting as I went to the nursing home. The nursing home was something else, but I learned what that was about. Yes, come on, go ahead, Naima.
I was just saying, I remember you sharing your nursing home experience with me, and my mom spent one day in a nursing home, and she transitioned out of there because she had always thought, I don't ever want to be in a nursing home. And when she had to go for one day, she said, nope, I'm out of here, and she left her body. But you endured that. You endured that. Let me just say this, Minister Cynthia. You knew that when you were in that nursing home, you were in there ministering to people. I remember you sharing how the different people that were coming into your room and how you were ministering to them. And that's what this journey is all about, is focusing on relationship that needed healing, and you were in there to get relief, but you were also ministering. So that was quite a journey for you.
Yeah, and part of my what do you call it? We're living your souls here and learning what are we doing? Putting up credit for what? I'm trying to think of words. How would I describe it? You're a soul. I'm a soul. And we're on this planet to do what again? Help others, but also give ourselves, I say, credit or something. But we're doing the work of the creative universe. And you were talking about higher level consciousness, right?
Yes. So I wanted to just play one more teaching on the psychology behind advertising, because as we leave here tonight, we need to be more mindful of the tools that are being used to manipulate our minds, our thinking, our choices to cause us to spend money on things we really don't need. So this is just a quick teaching, again, a little bit more on the psychology behind advertising.
It should come as no surprise that modern advertising as we know it has shaped the society in many ways. A lot of our daily decisions and life choices are influenced in part by advertising itself. It's become such a deep-rooted constituent of our established norm that a world without it would seem, frankly, strange.
Like so many others, I had become a slave to the IKEA nesting instinct.
I'd like to order the Erica Picari dust ruffles.
And this is because barely a moment goes by during our day when we aren't bombarded with advertisements in some form or the other. posters, billboards, flyers, TV commercials, and internet ads all creep into our personal space and tell us what we should buy and who we should be. For now, our only brief escape from our role as a potential consumer comes to us during sleep, but even this could possibly change one day.
Are you bored? Get Skygo for your mobile. Best entertainment and live sport. When you want it, where you want it.
What's important to know is that the purpose of advertising isn't limited in its capacity to harass us in departing with our hard-earned money. Advertising plays a traditional role in helping businesses reach prospective customers and vice versa. Without it, we would not know where to look for a particular product or service we need. Perhaps, without advertising, we wouldn't even know what we wanted in the first place. Yet, in our present-day technologically driven lives, the reach between producer and consumer has grown a lot smaller. With the numerous media platforms and channels available to us, a simple online search takes us to a list of providers able to satisfy your every want. Our dilemma today comes in the form of not knowing which product to choose from out of the many available to us. Now, this is where good advertising comes into play. In a saturated market, subtle differences can make the distinction between the choice of one product over another. There are typically two modes of advertising that ad agencies and marketing gurus utilize. One focuses on the qualities of the product, while the other seeks to arouse an emotional response from the intended audience. The moment you start to think about advertisements that have stood out to you in the recent past, there's a high probability that they incorporated the latter. And that's a good reason for this.
Well, gentlemen, I don't think I have to tell you what you just witnessed here.
I think you do.
Why should you choose one product over another? That decision becomes easy when you develop an affinity with a particular brand. It could be something as small as an aesthetically appealing logo design, something that resonates with you and feels calming. The right colors and appropriate typography all match in harmony for a well-packaged product. But advertising goes beyond a well-thought-out logo or attractive packaging. The most successful ad campaigns hardly say anything about the product itself, but instead create a lucid atmosphere that evokes a strong emotion from its target consumer. These are the types of advertisements that we remember, talk about, and influence our purchasing decisions. Now, let's take a look at the following two commercials about perfume.
Fragrances by Chilton, the essence of precious scents caught at that precise moment of fulfillment, distilled with exquisite artistry for your every mood, in four fragrances. Here is the newest adventure in fragrance, Escapade, a blending of subtle French genius with a bold, vivacious American touch. To be lovely is to feel lovely when your fragrance expresses your gayest self. So choose a gay adventure. Choose Escapade toilet water. Immediately you feel lovely. Why, you are lovely in that light and gay Escapade mood. And remember your Escapade stick cologne to renew adventure wherever you are. Enjoy all these Chilton fragrances. Escapade, Friendship's Garden, Early American Old Spice, Desert Flower. At leading cosmetic counters everywhere. Toilet waters, $1.25 and $1.50. Stick colognes, $1.
The differences between the two commercials are quite stark. The first ad for Escapade perfume quite explicitly focuses on the product itself. It describes certain characteristics of the perfume while going on to talk about its application and effect on the user. And this is quite difficult to do, especially when describing a product whose main selling attribute, which is smell, is not transmissible through television. It almost seems absurd But the second perfume commercial does not even try in the least to directly communicate the features of their product. They rely solely on eliciting particular feelings and associations with their perfume. In this case, we could assume that the directors behind the ad want to transmit the feeling of ethereal beauty. We see a woman who fits into our standard of high attractiveness in a society, frolicking through a rainforest in the midst of a storm. The only mention of the perfume is in the last 6 seconds of the 1 minute ad. So why do we care about the associations of our product rather than the product itself? Good advertising helps us begin to answer one of the most fundamental questions of human life. Who am I? This is because when it comes to figuring out who we are and what we want from life, we usually struggle to find answers. Now, a lot of this is existential and has to do with the fact that we're born with no pre-established notion of what it means to be human. It's simply up to us to figure that out along the way. But making the decision isn't easy.
So I think you all the message about how advertising really works on people's emotions. And I think one of the big differences today is they're using celebrities to sell products. Shaquille O'Neal comes to mind as being one of the celebrities or one of the sports figures that I've seen a lot of in advertising products. So they really are triggering people's emotions to buy things based on whether they like someone or not. It's like, so the psychology behind it is real. And the energy behind getting us to spend money is real. So I want us to just take a minute to do some meditation, breathing, and really focus on simplicity. The simplicity of getting out in nature and holding on to your money and preparing for what is to come. Again, many of us were unprepared for the last 3 years. And that's okay. We survive. If we survive, that means we're the strongest of the bunches. So let us just take these last few minutes to breathe in, earth my body, water my blood, and hopefully reminding us to get back to a simpler lifestyle where we're not consuming, and our minds are free to choose to help people like Mama AZ and Kwame, who are doing work to heal people and bring them back to nature. So let us take a moment to close our eyes and listen to the words.
Earth my body, water my blood. Hear my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood. Hear my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird. Many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother is with me. Close your eyes, can't you see?
And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth's my body, water my body, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my spirit. Earth my body, earth my body, water my life. Air my breath and fire my spirit.
Breathe in, deep breath in, deep breath in, and deep breath out. Exhale, inhale. Let us take in the wisdom age, the wisdom of our spirit, the spirit that says simplify our lives and focus more on relationship, being nourished by relationships. And I want to again thank Minister Cynthia for sharing her life with us, and hope you have a beautiful week, not just today, but I hope you have a beautiful week. And all of you come back tomorrow for Monday morning mindfulness. I believe, I'm not sure if Zelda... we're going to be reviewing the movie Woman King with Viola Davis, I believe. So don't miss tomorrow's Monday Morning Mindfulness, where you'll hear a review of a very powerful movie that's playing or that just came out. So we're going to say goodnight and goodbye to our global audience. We love our global audience. And everybody have a great week.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, yes. Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.